Chapter 1. Winona Farmington opened one eye and saw through the window the white wonderland she woke up to for most of the winter in Beecher, Michigan. It was a small town, almost 2 hours north of Detroit, with a population of 10,000. Beecher's main claim to fame was that it had been hit by the 10th deadliest tornado in U.S. history in the 1950s, long before Winnie was born. Nothing much had happened there since. The other side of her double bed was cold, which meant that Rob had gotten up at least an hour before and left for the meat processing plant where he worked. She guessed, even before she glanced out the window, that he hadn't bothered to shovel after last night's snow. The house she lived in had been her mother's, and she owned it with her sister, Marge. Marge was already married with kids when their mother died, and she and Eric owned their own house, so Winnie stayed in the family house, and they agreed that if they ever sold it, they'd split the proceeds equally. But for now, at least, Marge didn't need the money. Her husband owned a busy plumbing company, and the house was a good investment and likely to increase in value, so she'd never asked Winnie to sell it. Rob stayed with her almost every night. He had his own apartment, but rarely went there except when they had a fight, or if he stayed out too late and got drunk when he went out with the boys and didn't want to hear Winnie complain about it the next morning. The rest of the time he slept at Winnie's, did no repairs, felt no great attachment to the place, and only helped her with something minor when she asked him. He kept some clothes in her closet, but nothing too personal, and none of his favorite items to wear. Winnie had once escaped Beecher to attend the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, and had loved it for the 3 years she'd been there. She had big dreams then, and wanted to work in publishing in New York after she graduated. She'd even visited the city a couple of times with her roommates and loved it. But then her mother got sick at the end of junior year, and by the end of the summer, it looked as if she only had a few months to live. Winnie didn't want to miss being with her mother for her final days. They'd always been close, particularly after Marge moved out after she graduated from high school when Winnie was 8. She had her mother to herself from then on, and their time together was precious. Her mother had shared with her passion for books, the delight of Jane Austen, the Bronte sisters, her favorite authors, biographies of famous people, history, and current authors. Winnie took the first semester of senior year off to be with her. But she was no better by Christmas, and Winnie took spring semester off as well to nurse her. It had been hard to come home to a small, quiet town where nothing ever happened after the excitement of the university. Coming back to Beecher was like returning to her childhood, and her whole focus was on her mother. She had no life of her own. Her friends had married right out of high school or gone to Detroit to find better jobs than they could find in Beecher. A few had gone to college, but not many. Some even had babies by then, and Winnie suddenly had nothing in common with them. She was busy with her mother's care. It was never spoken, but Marge simply assumed that Winnie would be there for their mother. She had a husband and a child by then, and made it clear she had no time. Winnie was single, still in college, and Marge saw no reason why Winnie's plans couldn't be deferred, and her dreams put on the back burner. Winnie was the obvious choice of caretaker, and she didn't want to let her mother down. She had always given up so much for them. And Winnie didn't want to abandon her mother in her final months. She loved her and wanted to spend as much time with her as she could. Miraculously, and despite the doctor's dire predictions, her mother had hung on for 7 years and even rallied several times, but never long enough for Winnie to leave again. She fought a noble battle and finally died when Winnie was 27. By then, it seemed too late to go back to college. She had a job, a house, a life, and New York and her dreams seemed as if they were on another planet. She was working as a cashier at a restaurant and got a better job at the local printing company after that. She met Rob 4 months after her mother died, and the time had drifted by like a river from then on, carrying her along with it. She didn't need a college degree for the job she had. Her own natural organizational skills and common sense were enough. It was hard to believe she and Rob had been dating for 11 years. She wasn't madly in love with him, but he was familiar and comfortable. They never talked about marriage or the future. They lived in the present, had dinner together on most nights, went to the movies.